Good morning. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 7th of January, 2025. Joined today by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news. And the Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Coming up in the news, bird flu has appeared in Jay County, Indiana. And Keystone Cooperative announces new patronage payments. We have the details. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for plenty of sunshine, but still very cold in the new forecast. And soybean, corn, and wheat markets all rebounded to regain some of Friday's losses. John Zanker analysis coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
Bird flu found on a commercial turkey farm in East Central Indiana, and another big announcement from Keystone Cooperative. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, we received some unwelcome news early Saturday morning, and if you follow Hoosier Ag Today on social media, you were one of the first to find out about it. Eric Pfeiffer has more.
Highly pathogenic avian influenza is back in Indiana.
That's Denise Dare-Spears, Public Information Director with the Indiana State Board of Animal Health.
Friday afternoon, we had test results that came back that we found the virus in a commercial turkey flock in Jay County.
Since that discovery late Friday, the flock of over 20,000 turkeys has been depopulated. A 10-kilometer control area and a 20-kilometer surveillance zone that includes portions of Jay and Adams counties have been established around the affected farm.
We will be requiring permits for any poultry or poultry product movements in or out of that area. Then there's companies up there, they're producing eggs that need to ship to make it to grocery stores. Before they can move, there has to be a negative test that happens for the flock to make sure that they won't be moving any virus. And so we've got testing that's happening on a daily basis for the farms up there, because a lot of those operations, they've got daily shipments and they have to keep in business.
BOA is reaching out to other flock owners in that area to offer testing. It is important to note that avian influenza does not present a food safety risk. Hobby poultry owners are encouraged to be aware of the signs of avian influenza and report illness or death to the USDA Healthy Birds Hotline.
Main things to look for are sudden death without clinical signs, lack of appetite or energy in the birds, decreased egg production, soft or misshapen eggs, swelling or purple discoloration of the head, eyelids, comb, the hocks, and nasal discharge, including coughing and sneezing.
The number to the Healthy Birds Hotline is 866-536-7593. You can find that number along with my full interview with Denise Dare-Spears at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Farmers, the Fort Wayne Farm Show celebrates 36 great years at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum, January 14th to the 16th. Plan to attend this huge three-day event featuring the area's largest variety of farm equipment and technology. You could win the grand prize, a Toro MyRide zero-turn lawnmower, courtesy of Plevna Implement. Admission is free.
The Fort Wayne Farm Show is next week, Tuesday through Thursday, the 14th through the 16th at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum in Fort Wayne, open Wednesday night till 8.
A big announcement coming from Keystone Cooperative.
We're proud to announce today that we're going to pay back $68 million in total patronage to our farmers that own us and do business with us.
And that's Kevin Still, CEO of Keystone Cooperative, which is based in Indianapolis.
We are actually returning 100% of our profits derived from our membership business. So out of the $68 million, we'll pay $56 million in cash. So the other $12 million will become equity that they own in the co-op for future redemption. We like to say that's the cooperative advantage. We like to say that's giving back to Main Street, not Wall Street.
How soon will Keystone Cooperative's farmer members be receiving their patronage?
The patronage will be put in the mail around January 20th. If they do attend one of our annual meeting or update meetings, we can hand deliver it then. The equity redemption will happen after February 1st.
Keystone Cooperative began operations on March 1st of last year after a merger between CoAlliance and Ceres Solutions. Still says the merger has improved service for their farmer members.
The key to the merger was to bring the best of both co-ops together, and in doing so, enhance our talent, utilize our size and scale to leverage purchasing power. So there's just things like that, that bringing the two co-ops together, we've been able to enhance the return for our farmers.
You can hear our full conversation at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit Mid-America is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Taking a look at the setup here, we don't have a lot of additional moisture over the next few days. That's good. We are going to be seeing some sunshine trying to take control over the next day, day and a half or so in a large part of the state, particularly central and southern Indiana. Sunshine helping to facilitate a little bit of snow melt, but we're not going to see a lot because temperatures stay quite chilly. Arctic air is here, and it's going to stay here through most of the rest of the week. So no new precipitation for Tuesday. Have to watch a lake effect trying to come into northern tier counties of Indiana later tomorrow into early Thursday. I think we can see some brief spats of snow in northern tier counties. The rest of us don't see anything. Actually turning out partly cloudy in central and southern Indiana overnight tomorrow night. Thursday should be partly sunny in most areas as well as high pressure sits right on top of us. I have a weather system coming up from the southwest late Friday into early Saturday. Right now I'm going to say a coating to an inch or two of snow possible out of that. It's not a direct hit, and the big moisture stays well south, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, where it's all rain. But I do think that we have to watch for an additional spat of snow. Once we get to sunrise Saturday morning, I think it's gone already. It's moving through that fast. It's almost like a clipper coming up from the southwest. We follow that up with a dry and pleasant Saturday with sunshine throughout. We have a little clipper that comes through the upper Midwest and Great Lakes region late Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening into early Monday. At this point, I think it puts down snow in Michigan, Wisconsin, and into Ontario. Clouds down in northern Indiana, nothing central and southern Indiana, but we'll watch that and see whether that track changes at all in the next few days. The rest of next week is just cold. If you're headed to the Fort Wayne Farm Show or anything else, bundle up, but there's no travel problems as Arctic high pressure continues to dominate. You're going to hear that phrase quite a bit in the forecast over the next couple of weeks, Arctic high pressure. It does keep big systems at bay, but we're just looking at being in the deep freeze for a nice little chunk of time. Even going into the week of Inauguration Day, we have plenty of cold air still here. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Gains for corn, soybeans, and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Farm Market Review, a higher day all around, including the overnight session. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. At the end of trade, I checked in for that with John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities. It was a recovery day of sorts, John. The markets on Friday, a sharp sell-off, but maybe that was a bit overdone as we saw a rebound on Monday in the overnight session and then, obviously, in the daytime session as well. Although, by the end of trade, off the highs, but there were some supportive elements out there, the weaker dollar index and weather as well. But I guess first talk about the sell-off on Friday and whether you agree that it was maybe a bit overstated.
I think it was overstated, and I think it was somewhat technical in nature. You got up there close to the, not close to, but at the six-month highs for corn. and you know, a nice bounce off the lows for soybeans. So, and we're still dealing in somewhat of a low volume market, but there was a little bit more water getting into that Argentine forecast, which I think was certainly the catalyst for the sell-off, and then some of the technical stuff took over from there. But that forecast has a little bit more water in it, but it's far from, there's no soaking rains. And it's still early in the growing season. They're just wrapping up corn and soybean planting in parts of Argentina. So it's June, you know, early June to late June, depending upon what part of the country you're in. So there's plenty of time to get that crop straightened back out. And the ratings are actually above normal, and probably in the top 10 or 20% of the last 20 years. So nothing that can't be fixed, but right now in the two-week forecast, it's not looking overly rosy. And southern Brazil, Rio Grande do Sul, Paraná, both of those states have some dryness issues as well.
And that forecast daily will continue to be quite an impactful statement as far as the markets are concerned.
Well, it's very similar to what we would see here in the last 2 weeks of June, Andy. You know, how many times in the last 10 years have we seen that forecast shift? Well, probably. I've been around this business for, what, 40, be going on 44 years, and it's more common than not that we have a forecast shift somewhere in that third to fourth week of June. And it's rarely well publicized in advance. So we go home looking hot and dry on Friday, and by Sunday evening they're putting rain in the forecast, and you know, we're up strong on Friday and we fall apart on Monday and Tuesday and so on and so forth. I've seen that happen a couple dozen times at least in the last 44 years. So, and sometimes it goes the other way, but more often than not, we're going to see that same situation play out here as we get into the second half of the growing season for the bulk of Brazil. And, you know, northernmost state, Mato Grosso, which raises about a third of the soybean crop for Brazil, it's pretty much, this forecast is plenty of rain through the next 2 weeks. They're going to start harvest there this week in the northernmost areas. So about half of Brazil is pretty well locked in, if you could say it at this point, locked in for a record yield, where that southern half is certainly a lot more questionable. In Argentina, still plenty of time for things to go wrong or right there. So yes, these forecasts daily will be watched closely.
Export inspections report out on Monday morning, better than expectations for wheat and corn, and soybean inspections came in within what the trade was estimating. So are you okay with those numbers?
Well, pretty seasonal. Corn 33.4, that's a little less than what we've been seeing. I'd like to see that number get popped back up here pretty quickly, and I think it will. Beans at 47.2, again, seasonal. We're on the backside of this thing, and we're going to see those numbers continue to get smaller, although last year we had a pretty good spike for a week or two. I'm not sure we're going to see that this time around, but we're well ahead of expectations, which is something I wasn't expecting 3 months ago. So I like that, but we also have potentially another 650 million bushels being grown in Brazil and Argentina this year, which, if that's the way it turns out, we certainly have some serious downside potential, Andy, here in the next 2 to 3 months.
Now, those highs I talked about in the market for corn and beans came early in the session, and then the markets trailed off of there, coming well off of those highs, especially in beans. Any particular reason?
Well, we got some politics involved there today, and you know, probably something that we can expect going forward when we're talking about tariffs and such. Some Trump aides, and this came out early in the session, we were higher based mainly on weather, but once this came out, the market spiked even more. But Trump aides basically saying that the tariffs would be somewhat defined and targeted versus the blanket approach. That made the financial markets happy. That made the commodity markets happy. A little bit later on, soon-to-be President Trump came out and said, nope, that's not the way it's going to be, when I'm not backing off my previous stance on you know, more a more blanketed approach. So the market sold off, you know, here at the close, we're looking at beans about 12 cents off their daily high. Corn's hung in there pretty well. And right now we're looking at, you know, just a couple cents, 2 to 3 cents off the daily high. So that's what caused the sell-off, and just kind of prepping us for what might lie ahead here in the coming months and years.
Market analysis from John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities. You can get John there at 866-837-9027. Now the Monday settlements, 7 cents up on March and May corn. March goes to 457 and three quarters, May 465 and a quarter, and 6 3/4 up on July, 468. March beans, 6 cents higher, 997 and three quarters. May up a nickel, 1008 and three quarters, and July 4 cents higher, going to 1020 and a half. March wheat ends at 540 and a half, a gain of 11 and a quarter. The meats were mixed. February live cattle, $1.15 higher, $195.20. And February lean hogs, $79.65, down $1.12. I'm Ian DeEubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.